Good evening, good evening. Are you radiating? Are you radiating what you choose to radiate? Are you radiating such that your manifestations are kind of glowing around you? What's going on in your world? My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I love to talk to you. This is a show which is a call-in show. We learn about energy. We learn about what it takes to really be yourself. What does it mean to be authentic? Does it mean that you're socially acceptable? I don't think so. So a lot of times what we're doing on Radiance by Design is calling up and clearing all kinds of things that are in the way of your life and your manifestation. Sometimes it takes a lot longer than a quick snippet on a radio show, but sometimes it doesn't. So let's just do a collective meditation together and then get talking to you. As a lot of you know, that we've been doing this kind of interesting thing, which is calling in, we always call in the guides and angels, I like that, or our connection to source, or however you want to frame it. I like saying guides and angels because it's kind of fluctuating consciousnesses that my guides tease me and say, you like to have a library, and I use a library so that I'm not relying on only one source, right? But in any case, I've learned a lot by calling in through the years, and that's how I learned energy many years ago. And of course, I've studied all kinds of things because I love to peer in and explore this, that, and the other thing, always with the goal to become, I guess I didn't call it this years ago, but ultimately it looks like it's a goal to become multidimensional. That means being able to move beyond the third dimension and then the kind of weight of our physical existence to connect with spirit, but not in, I'm not one who's in the religious form, though I was raised Catholic, but connecting with spirit to me means that part of us that was never been born and never dies and goes on and on, accruing, gathering all kinds of knowledge, wisdom, and sometimes old reactions. So what's happened recently, and I think I've often attributed this to Julia Sant, who wrote The Last Frontier, one of my paradigm shifters. But one of the things that I've loved is that having been raised Catholic and I see a lot of spirits, I always thought you weren't allowed to call in specific spirits because it would pull them off their own track and they're supposed to be allowed to or praised for or sent light to move on their own evolutionary track once they're off the planet. But as she put it, that's kind of a contrived thing to keep us in line, keep us well-behaved, and you don't have to just wait for the right spirit to come in. You can call forth the beings that you really want to talk to. So we've been doing that. So when I'm talking to certain people who have, chronic conditions, pain, poverty, not being able to get along with anyone, relationship problems between family members or anybody really, then the idea is quite often when you call in now, we look for spirit beings, where they came from on your soul's journey. What is the karma between you, which I'm beginning to loosely or thumbnail interpretation that I'm using is to say that what I call karma is just an attraction to one another because of an old reaction that's still kind of resonant in you because you're a computer, I'm a computer, and this is an old program that came from something that was incomplete. So either we keep living through these efforts to complete or we can unhook those. And I've found more and more lately that the spirit beings that we call in want to be unhooked as well, because they want to be untethered by karma. And you want to be untethered by your karma. I want to be untethered by my karma. And over, it's kind of exciting. So let's, when you call in, let's see who you are attached to, what old reactions are still holding you back or slowing you down. Very often, if you fall in love with somebody and then you break up, even if the breakup is a willing on both parts, kind of situation, you find yourself like aching for them or never quite getting over them and so on. That's a really good example of a karmic hookup that needs to be unhooked from that level not just going into therapy and getting clear in your psychology, but it needs to be kind of energetically clear, or cellular energetics, you want to call it. Who are you really? Are you really the being who is attached to all of these past experiences? Not really. Who you are way down deep inside, from my perspective, is a wonderful kind of a cycloning, very beautiful, multicolored, spiraling being, the essence of which has embedded in it some of these great nuggets of gifts and so on. And oftentimes when we work with people, those start to spiral on up because we're pulling away the underbrush or the driftwood or the leftover stuff from other lives or this life or early childhood or psychological hoo-ha. It doesn't matter. There's all kinds of stuff. But who you are inside is someone who has this absolute infinite supply of gifts and expressions and so on. So we want you to call in later and find out what's going on inside of you and why is it pushing against things that are limiting you from the outside. What is really your authentic nature? Now, what else do you want to talk about? Anything you want to talk about, call in. So first we'll start off doing our Sacred Geometrics meditation, which I really love. It's a really wonderful tool for manifesting, for healing, for understanding yourself, for just straight-up meditation. And it's what we've been using is this one, which is the Sacred Geometrics Collection. They call it the structure. And it's really, really empowering. I repeat the same old thing all the time, because I want us to know how to do it and how to create it. And I still hear from people who say, I never quite figured out what is required. And I haven't been able to find a good graphics person who will draw it for me in one of the new three-dimensional formats that are possible these days. So in any case, I'll just talk you through it. And let me know what you come up with as a result. So above your head, about 2 miles, see there, a golden ball, a beautiful, bright, bright golden ball, warm gold. Below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through the spine into the lower golden ball. Now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, let's create a golden pyramid. Oof, it's beautiful. All the lines are gold. And then upside down, with its point going into our lower golden ball, remember it's about 40 feet down, another four-sided pyramid. So when the two are jammed together, they create an eight-sided structure called an octahedron. Have you got that? And now inside of that, let's see ourselves in a crystal ball. And inside of that, a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional Star of David. Good. And now whilst you're in the three-dimensional Star of David, see yourself spinning and spinning. Feel yourself spinning and spinning and spinning. Wonderful. Spin and spin and spin and spin. And as you do, take a look at the magical screen in front of you. And on that screen, we're going to create some movies. The first movie is you becoming what you want to become. And as you already know, I want to become multidimensional. And I want to come from the heart. What do you want to become? When I say multidimensional, I want to be conscious about stepping out of the third dimension in my awareness and going into all kinds of dimensions. You don't have to want to do that or be that, but if you do, join me. And if you don't, do what you want to do and become and see yourself becoming that in your first picture, your first movie. Good. See yourself moving up. Good. And becoming all that you want to become. Being authentic might be thrown into the mix too, eh? Now wrap that in light and let it keep stewing and move it over to the side. And then the second movie that you're creating is you creating something you want to create. That can be a book, a movie, a home, a family relationship, a house, traveling around the world, multidimensional, going off in a rocket ship. It doesn't matter. And in this movie, you see the goal. You see that goal, but you see all the resources coming together. It's money, people, time, energy, focus, and all the pieces just keep flowing to you and flowing to you and flowing to you. Good, flowing to you. Until you feel like you're really getting there and you see all the pieces coming together. Good. And now you want all the resources to come in to sustain your project, to make it last as long as it's worthy of lasting, whether it should last for 2 years or 20 years or 100 years. See all the resources, the time, the people, the money, the laughter, and just see it a kind of nurturing and nesting your project. Good. And then move it over to the side, wrap it in light. And then let's do the Galactic Healing Center. I like this very much. I like them all, but this is very important to me. So you see part of your invisible team, your consciousness team. See them standing around this beautiful, fresh healing table. It's very sparkly. It's so clean. First person to come onto the healing table is, guess who, is you. Or me, in my case. So let's jump on that table, lie down, and ask for help on something that you want to heal. Good. Or ask them what it is you need help with. Good. So we're just going to lie there and have them working on you. Wow. And the work is energy, and I can feel it. Yeah. It's funny, they're working on my chest, and I can really feel it. I'm going, so what's going on in my chest? It feels like a heartbreak. And you know what? I forgot that a few hours ago I was saying, I really feel like my heart is broken around something. So I didn't ask for that, but that's what's coming up. What's coming up in your healing episode here? Now, when the energy starts to really flow, wrap it all in light and move it over to the left. Good. Now we'll have a fresh healing table and a fresh replication of our healing guides. And then we're going to bring in some people. I would like to bring in someone to lie on the table. The person I'm choosing tonight is a young man who's a very, very sensitive, perceptive young man. And he's in his teenage years, and it's kind of, he's depressed. And we want to, how can I put this, help him find something about who he is in that crazy labyrinthian phase called teenagehood. Yeah, and we're asking the healing team to work around him and with him, and they're immediately putting their hands on his head. They don't really have hands. They're etheric hands on his head and working in the inner part of his brain by the corpus callosum toward the back. They're really working. Yeah. I wish we were in touch with him. I could find out if he feels this. Yeah, they're also working in his intestinal area, where he seems to have an awful lot of nervousness. Okay. Now, the thing about most of us is if we feel that the next steps we're going to take are really about our authentic nature and that that's a valid thing to go after, we would be less insecure. But most of our insecurity comes from, well, it can come from old programs, can't it? But it also can come from what people comparing to other people. So what's normal in his school isn't normal for him and never will be, because he's very, very sensitive, very creative. He's going to be unique. He's going to be eccentric. And he's just got his own kind of wisdom. But, you know, talking about becoming authentic, it's really hard as a teenager to discover your very own kind of wisdom, because a lot of us feel, this is true for me, and I'm 100 years old, right? But a lot of us feel other people's insecurities and fear and combativeness and competition. So you kind of get this amazing kind of symphony of everybody else's reaction running through your own body. So let's also get the team wants to send some really strong lights up through this being, right up through his perineum. And now, who's on your table, and what are you helping them with? I'm going to ask for another shot for this child. He's not a child. He's a wonderful young man. But let's ask our healing team, and you can do this for yours as well, to really bring in the healing teams above them and the healing teams above them and the healing teams above them and the specialists that they can bring in. Right? Good. Now that pumps up the energy, wrap this fellow in light. Wrap your person in light. Move them over to the side. Have a fresh table and have your healing team go around the table. Good. Now I have a younger boy, and he's lying on the table right now. He's young, and he's having a little trouble at school. He's also, this is really interesting, maybe it's because we're talking about the authentic that they're coming in, but he's also really in need of finding out how to express his own creativity whilst feeling like he's not measuring up in his school or even with his parents. Yeah. There you are. And so they're working with him. They're holding his head also in a slightly different area. And they're working with his body. Good. And then we're going to ask for them to enhance the consciousness of that healing team. Layer after layer after layer, and connect with this little one's higher self. Yeah. Okay, and who's on your table? I hope that you're going to call in and tell us. And we're going to wrap him in light and move him over to the side. And now let's do our political one. Let's bring in a political situation. Let's see, what's the situation? I guess I could put Syria on the table again. Let's have a table big enough to hold a whole country. And I don't pay too much attention to the news, although I caught some really awful and very sad pictures of Syria today. So let's bring Syria in, and people are just fighting for, it's really a hot, they're fighting for fairness, for their own right to be, and civilians are being shot and killed. There's a lot of awful stuff going on, and there's a lack of food and a shortage of food and clothes and water. Yeah, so let's bring in, this might seem paltry, but I'll tell you what, if we really think this way a lot about a lot of situations, things will change and are changing. So let's call in some amazing light, healing light. Remember, call in and have it come down through the top of your head, run down through your neck into your heart, and then back out through your arms and hands, and let's just keep sending to all those beings in Syria that are in charge of either side, the more dominant beings. I see so much vehemence and anger and need for power. Let's just keep encharging them with that light of harmony and care and love. And I would call it altruism, but it's just respect for all living. Okay? Good. And just keep filling it with light. And again, realms and realms and realms of consciousness. Now wrap that in light and move it over to the side. Good. And now we're going to do one more. We're going to do around the world. Let's call in this harmonizing light again with these realms and realms of beings. They want to be around us. They're helping us. The earth is going to transform and rise in frequency. How many of you feel like it's going so fast already? Okay, so the frequencies are rising on the planet. Let's have these beings of light and consciousness, layer after layer, row after row after row, come in and just radiate down through the top of your head, down into your heart, whirl through your heart, down your arms, and radiate out your hands. And now start passing all around the world this amazing light that you're bringing out. And we're going to charge up the frequencies in the various places where there's sickness, where there's war, where there's poverty. Good. Hopelessness, despair, loneliness. Good. And just have it charge up all of our leaders all over the world. Good, bad, or indifferent. Charge up the corporations, so that there's a sense of ethics, integrity, and a win-win consciousness, and have it move round and round and round our world, round and round our world, to raise our fields and frequency so that we're all one and we all recognize that we're all part of one life. Okay, now turn and close off your galactic healing center and jump into your star tetrahedron. And let's spin and spin and spin. Spin and spin and spin. Good. And now jump back into the world here and call me. I want to hear from you. How are you tonight? What's going on? Let's see if I can see somebody out there and what's going on with you. First of all, we're headed into spring. How many of you are really thrilled about that? Because I sure am. let's see here. I'm just going to take a look. All right. Funny, because I'm going to go, I'll give you the numbers first if you want to call in. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Call in. I'm Veronica Entwistle. I work with guides and angels. We want to talk to you about what's going on in your world. What's going on in your life? What were you born to do? Are you authentic? What gets in the way of your being authentic? How many of you feel like you're on like a hamster wheel these days where you're going faster and faster and faster and you're always busy and you're doing a million things and you don't know whether to text or Twitter or do your email or cook dinner. I keep talking to young people who are feeling the same frustrating thing as those of us who are a little bit older, that there's so much that we should be doing at any given time. We have to learn to go into the now, to be in the now, into the now, into the now. You notice how your body calms down as we do that? Yeah. So what's going on with you? That's right. And I'm seeing a lot of people that are in stark terror. Let's see here. So there's a lot of mother and daughter problems out there. And I keep reading that that's natural and it's really normal. And I would say that there's a number of reasons for that. And one of them is those old soul bondage things, the karma, right? I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that women kind of nurture the kids, and the kids want to individuate and not be like the mother. So if it's girl to mother, it's got to be more that way. I don't know if that's always true, because the other thing is that the peer pressure from media and so on to teach the girls or teach people how to be different than their family is. I mean, that's a whole other thing, isn't it? So anyway, let's talk about mothers and daughters, and let's see if we can find... Okay, so here's a pair of them. I see a whole bunch of them out there, so let's pick somebody. We're going to pick... oh, my. All right. We're going to pick this one who is a... she's quite an amazing young woman, very amazing. But she can't, her mother is also amazing. Here's the problem. And she can't stand it when her mother tells her what to do. She's 30, okay? They're both amazing people. They're both very creative, and they're both out there kind of somewhere between entrepreneurial and creative. And I'm taking a look at them. This is just an example. Let's take a look at them. Okay, so they have, this is interesting. There are several things that is causing this tension in them. One of them is that in the early childhood, the mother was pretty dictatorial and also kind of like overbearing, always there, always there, always there. And the girl is by nature very, very independent. They're showing that in another life, there's this life that they had that was in some kind of, I think it's a school. It looks like it's an ancient mystery school is what it is. It's way back in the old temple times. And the mother was basically... basically under this is kind of fun, under the tutelage of the daughter in that life. And the daughter was pretty very, very powerful and really didn't pay enough attention to the student that this time is her mother. So I'm seeing this kind of struggle and the mother sort of aching for that teacher to be more involved with her and pay more attention to what she's showing here is pay more attention to her soul journey, which is kind of interesting. I wouldn't have imagined it being like this. But in any case, the young woman today is the teacher there, and she's a very powerful teacher, but she's aloof with this student who just loves her like mad. You see, it wasn't reciprocated. So this time, in their mother and daughter, it's really hard because the mother is the one that wanted more love. So she's really pouring it on this girl this time who is not the teacher but is the child. Of course, she's the teacher. We all teach each other, don't we? And then the daughter feels really kind of overwhelmed, overloaded, and instead of it being, this is interesting to me, instead of it being love, or instead of the daughter feeling the mother's love, she feels kind of controlled by it, that she has to respond a certain way. And if you want to look at it, an under thing, it's true, isn't it? That she does want her daughter to love her a certain way. So let's call in our angels and guides again and ask for help for unhooking. Yes. When I ask for that, and I'm an empath, right? So a lot of this stuff hits me in the body. So when I ask for that, I get it in the belly. Now, this is not my life that I'm talking about. These are people I don't really know. But when I ask for the unhooking, they're doing it right from the belly. So we're asking for the unhooking. If you read Michael Newton's books, they talk a lot about the energy healing that goes on between lives with souls. And everybody really wants to be unhooked, but sometimes it takes a lifetime to figure out a way to unhook that kind of deep, almost demented attachment to one another. But we're asking the guides to really do this because both spirits want to be free of it. Because you realize if somebody's really pulling on you, you can't really authenticate as much, can you? You're in a state of reaction and you're not conscious of where it came from. So we're really trying to unhook these two beings from a lifetime reaction that is no longer relevant. Yeah, and that's moved from the belly up into the chest. And now we're running light through. Good. And now we're going to spin both of them. Let's use the double tetrahedron or the octahedron that we started off with. Let's spin them both in one of those gold. They're each in their own separate one, right? Spin and spin and spin. And I feel like, no, it's not quite yet. I feel like there's a separation beginning to happen. And the thing is that if you can clear that sort of thing, both spirits, both souls, get a chance to live in a different kind of authenticity for which they can respect one another differently, you see? I think that's a pretty interesting example because the whole mother-daughter thing can get a little bit crazy. What's going on in your world? Past lives, let's see. In the past lives, they can... Oh, yeah. So here's a young woman who... she had a life in which she was a very, very high being. She was spiritually very awake and very realized. And I don't know what happened to end that life. Let's ask, see if they show. But in any case, she was a very high being. She was very realized. And then when she died... I'm just trying to figure out what happened when she died. There was some hook in her that when she died in a state of really deep distress. And then she thought she would resurrect herself when she was born into a new life. She was pursued by or went after a partner who was a very, in quotes, high being, and she was going to get back up into that echelon in which she had lived before. But it didn't work out that way because he deceived her. And remember, this is all energy. So what happened is he brought her into his world, deceived her, and she got very, very confused. He got very dark, strange magic, all kinds of things. And according to this, she's been working her way out of that for many, many lifetimes. It's almost unfathomable, isn't it? And that's led her into being kind of deceived and abused and vengeful, all these different lives that they're showing. But the bottom line is going back into that lifetime where that being who was so dark. So they're saying it's not that you have to go back into that lifetime. It's a matter of finding this fellow, finding this spirit who is showing up because he wants to be unhooked as well. Because when they're pulling and pushing on each other and then acting out of that, it's really kind of a relentless sentence, isn't it? So we're asking for help as we unhook these two souls. Yeah. Now this one is really hooked around the, I would say the spine, mostly the spine from about mid-back down into the base of the spine for the young woman. And for the male, it's more in his heart, his chest, and his frontal lobe area. I know he doesn't have a body, but you know, you get this energy body pattern. Anyway, he really wants to be unhooked as well. So we're running some light. And the guides and angels are showing it as like a fire kind of thing, and they're just burning it out. Let's call it the violet flame for now. And they're saying that there's no need for us to continue with the whole karmic thing. It's just very antiquated. And these are changing times, not only in our planet, many, many different planets up there. These times are changing, and the human system is changing. Remember the shift? We all thought it was going to be the end of the world in December. Well, I keep chuckling. I go, it is like the end of the world in a sense, in that the shift is vibrating through many, many individuals on our planet. And people are waking up. I'm sure a lot of you see the word awakening everywhere. And as we wake up, waking up, oh, goody, you're on the air, but just wait a minute, okay? Waking up is very often a process of seeing that you have potential you didn't think you had, opening up from the trance of what we used to call karma and so on. Anyway, so we're just going to finish flushing light between these two beings and let them wake up, and we're going to call you to be on the air. Good evening.
Hi, Veronica. It's Jaya.
Hi, Jaya. How are you doing?
Doing well. I was listening and I was remembering one of your guests was talking about parallel lives.
Right, okay.
And I wonder what you can say about that. Parallel lives going on?
You do, actually. Well, you know what's interesting to that, Jaya, is that's a good question. I'm not even sure if I'm capable of a full answer. But what I want to say, first thing that comes through is that sometimes there's a confusion between life after life and parallel lives. And so what I was just talking about could actually be a parallel life, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then for you, it seems like you have a life that's... As soon as you ask, I go, you have a life which is a lot easier. How would you like
good.
That? We just have to figure out how to hop from one to the other. That's the question I always ask. If it is parallel, why can't we just jump into the different track, you know? Because they're showing you've got a life which is quite happy. It seems to have a lot to do with little boats and water, being near the water, and a wonderful partnership. And
wow.
And money, and there's a lot of beauty. It seems like there's a lot of travel, lots of flowers. Do you like to garden or something?
Yeah. You sure that it's not this life
a later version of this one?
Well, you asked parallel, and they just showed me that right away, so I'm just going to take that. But you know what? There's no reason why you can't have all that yet. You know, but this is different. It's a different. You look younger, and you look like you're in a different place entirely. Although you do love Hawaii, but it looks more like, it doesn't look like Hawaii. It looks like, I don't know. I can't tell, but it's very, very light and free life. Now, if you have that kind of life soon, you know that you've already weathered a few storms in your day, have you not?
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's a bad thing. Here's what they're saying, that you have several parallel lives going on off this planet. And there's one in which most things are pink. You know, it sounds really weird, but anyway, most things are pink. And you're able to move. It must have a totally different sense of gravity because you're able to move really easily. You move in these funny little machines that have like a bubble of something, and you look like a little bit like an orb, except there's a machine to it. and you're having a lovely time in that one. And the whole description of the physical plane is very different. It's more like thicker vibrational plane, which you could say our Earth is a thicker vibrational plane, but this is lighter than the Earth and thicker than the air, you see? And you look like you're having a wonderful time in that one, too. I don't think I'm going to hunt for nasty parallel lives. Do I have to do that?
No. But is this fairly common that we have parallel lives?
Apparently, it's very common. It's not something that I have studied very much, but I'm answering your question in the moment, and that's what they're showing me, and they're saying yes, indeed.
Wasn't it Julia Assant that was talking about that in her interview with you?
Well, you know what she talked about was... that's right. She talked about someone who... she didn't know, but she knew. She knew when that person had died, but she never met them. But she knew all about them. They were in communication on the inner. I don't think that's a parallel life, is it?
She thought it was herself.
That's right. She said they were of the same soul.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then there was another part. Yeah. I can't remember all of it, but one part was... somebody's name was Bernard that she knew really well, and there was finally a connection. I don't remember the exact story, but I think it was more like souls in different
bodies.
Yeah, like parts of the same soul in different bodies, as if our souls can be in many places. I gather that's true. But I don't know if that's parallel lives. I think of parallel lives as being in different dimensions. Did I just say the same thing? No, because to me, they're in different places in time and space. But that doesn't necessarily have to be true either. Like I say, I really don't know the hard, cold facts about it. Does anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
You could call in and let us know. How's your life, Jaya?
Well, you were saying there's a big shift coming up, and I feel it internally. There's not too much externally manifesting yet, but...
beginning of March, I think, eh?
Uh-huh.
Did the guides give us a time before?
They said that there would be great financial relief in March. They did say that.
I still see that. I see it as near the beginning of March. When you say shift, I feel like a lot of people are going through shifts, and it seems like how it looks to me, you know, if you look at the vibrations moving around, suddenly they changed a lot, maybe last week, and then they're changing again. I keep seeing as like blips on the screen. It's like reality doesn't just go along at the same old rate it used to. It seems to take wild swings at itself. You know what I mean? And you've got some big blips coming up in March. And then again, I would say maybe something in April and something in June in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think, you know, we've often seen that you're going to leave the area in which you live at this point, and I see it building up steam, so you should know that fairly soon. You may not leave yet, but you will know it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah.
You look quite happy, are you?
Yeah, sort of without reason, yeah. Happy without reason.
Are you meditating?
Well, yeah, every day, yes.
Well, doesn't that help? You know, it's funny because I love quoting Jack Hawley's. Jack Hawley wrote, Bhagavad Gita, A Walkthrough for Westerners. And in it, in the interview, he said, you know, the biggest goal in life is learning how to send love and be happy no matter what is around you, no matter how sad, how dangerous. Oh, wow, I have a little ways to go on that, you know, but maybe you're there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the truth, so, yeah.
It is the truth, isn't it? Well, thanks for your call. I'm sorry I don't know more about parallel lives, but now you've got me learning, so we'll have to call another kind of interviewee to come on and really illuminate it for Paradigm Shift.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm interested.
Thought when I was little that there was a part of me or somebody I knew really well who was way out there in the stars. I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And missing me, and I missed her. So I keep thinking that was probably a parallel life, wasn't it?
Yeah, that feels right. That sounds right. I think there's truth in that.
I do, too. So we have another caller, but thank you for calling, Jaya.
Okay, well, thanks, Veronica.
See you later. Good evening. You're on the air. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, this is Sandy from Ojai.
Hi. How are you, Sandy from Ojai?
Next time maybe I'll be saying I'm not from Ojai. Wouldn't that be refreshing?
Yeah. I was going to say, are you calling us from a parallel life?
I wish. I'm ready for a parallel life.
Well, we were talking about them. I wish we could just go from one to the other willy-nilly. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be nice? It would make life so much less monotonous.
Is it the monotony of trauma? What's going on with you?
It's nothing.
Doing?
I would love to hear that. Sandy, life's not always going to be like this, and someday you'll be back in the world, and you'll be enjoying what you do, and you'll be with the man you love, and you won't feel isolated, and you won't feel like your life is hit at end. That's
Are you, how's your dog?
My dog is fine.
And are
he's
you
like
working?
He's a special needs child, but he's fine. I'm not working. My art feels all kind of, I don't know, almost kind of dried up. And yeah, it just kind of feels like Groundhog Day. And it's very isolated and very kind of still not a real momentum to brave the storms of looking to move. So I'm just not quite sure. It feels like this old pattern that's just there, replaying itself over and over and over again, and I'm quite tired of it.
So let's ask for some spirit presence that you had some karma with, and find out if you've got someone on the other realm with whom you're holding each other back. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm looking and I'm seeing. Well, I'm looking at you. Talk about parallel lives. They're showing you holding you back. I'm going like, oh, that's interesting. But it's from another. When you in another life, this is about you in another life, not about a spirit person. And this is because you are a spirit person. So am I, right? But there's something holding you back from past experience now. What is that? I'm asking to see and feel. I feel like it's one of those classic examples. There's a terror in you about going forward. Do you know that?
It feels like there's a terror in me about just being here.
Yeah, because it feels like whatever you took off to do in that life, and you were in a place where there was a lot of waterfalls and a lot of beauty and kind of a... you were sort of an adventurer, but you got lost. But it seems like it was a very jungly kind of place, not that you were swinging from tree to tree or anything, but you look like you stepped forward, and that was the end. That was the end of your life because you went over some kind of... it's kind of like a cliff and water and this really complex danger zone, and you died. And you were being very intrepid. You look about the same age, you look beautiful, all of that, but you died at that point. And there was something very scary about it. I don't know whether there was a dangerous, like an animal or something. There was something very scary when you got to the edge of this. It was a little bit like a surprise waterfall edge, not exactly a waterfall, but a cliff kind of thing that went down, and there was a hole underneath so that you couldn't get back out. And it was the end, and you really built up your courage and your excitement and your adventure to go on that. And I think you're around the same age as when I'm talking about this, my heart chakra right across the chest hurts like mad. And I go, there's this terror in you because it wasn't an easy death either. There was a hole being caught and not being able to get out, some kind of an animal. You didn't get eaten, but it was all very scary, a lot of trauma. And they're showing that you're really scared to leave this area. Are your allergies worse right now?
Yeah, they're pretty intense on a lot of levels with the chemical sensitivities and all. Kind of, I'm like the girl in the plastic bubble almost.
Oh, honey, I'm so sorry.
It's intense.
I want you to...
So you think it's life.
I want everybody at home to consider this. Let's bring up, wrap yourselves in light, all of you, and then bring up a kind of a feeling of terror. There you go. I want to bring up a feeling of terror, and then we're going to ask our guides and angels to please pull that out. Because I want to say that the feeling and the stress hormones inside of you are also exacerbating and increasing your allergenic response to everything. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Deep down in you, you're kind of a sweet, relatively easy-tempered soul, but deep down there's this like boiling trauma, terror.
Yes.
And that's really creating a huge number of allergens. It's really interesting. Yeah. And what we're doing is calling up that terror and asking everybody to bring up their own. Because if you've got, we talked about being authentic. One of the things about being really yourself is to find out what is perking underneath the surface. And when you bring up that terror and really start to work with it, I think that, and it's going to take you more than 20 seconds here on live global radio, but it seems like once you get that perked, things are going to start to move for you. Because can you feel your legs being really weird as we do this?
Yes, and I feel a lot in my throat.
Okay.
It's almost like there's like a primal scream, you know, just kind of percolating there.
And you know what, honey? You can use that scream. You don't have to do it out loud. You can just be in your imagination and really imagine primal screaming if you can't get it out in the old-fashioned yelling way. Because
okay.
I feel like you need to break that cycle. You don't have to be sucked down into this never-never land. You need to just express the terror and get it out of there. Because it's not going to be terrifying. You're going to say, oh, what a relief. Have you gone south at all to check it out?
No, I think what we're talking about right now is pretty much helped me back from even doing that.
Yeah, well, I want you to play with it or paint it, draw it, finger paint it with your non-dominant hand or something. Get it up and
okay.
out and realize that it's a work of art. Because if we go back into the whole karmic thing or the past life stuff and so on, we could say this really is the art of being a soul, isn't it? Getting that stuff up and transforming it. Is it not?
Yes.
But
absolutely.
I'm glad to hear from you, and I'm glad that you had the courage to call in this amazing radio show.
Thank you so much, Veronica. I'm going to work with this. I'll know how it goes.
Yeah, send me an email or bonus next week. Many blessings.
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, honey. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, wow, isn't it amazing how we can hold ourselves back? Have you ever felt that? People who have been hung, had their throat cut or some other ghastly thing, often get really weird throat conditions. So the whole thing about being authentic and finding out what your gifts are and dropping all of these different reactions bit by bit by bit, that's a long haul, isn't it? Because we're really amazing beings. Human beings are amazing. We've been on the circuit for maybe millions of years, who knows? And boy, we've collected a lot of reactions. And so when you sit with yourself and really get with the reaction that's either holding you back or making you nervous or making you sick and so on, it's a really big, very exciting, freeing kind of process. I'm going to be doing a workshop soon, starting in Tucson, Arizona. I'm headed to Tucson in a few weeks. I'm going to be doing a workshop on March 16th. There, and it's going to be kind of fun. It's a meditation, sound, breathing, personal questions, and finding out who's in your fields and so on, and helping people become more and more authentic. It's a great gift to give to your health and to your goal setting, to your futurizing, and I'm really excited to be bringing these new workshops forward. So you might want to join me for that. Check my website, veronicaentwistle.com. I love getting feedback from you on the website anyway, and it's new, and I love to hear what it is that's missing for you and what would you like to hear. Paradigm Shifters is on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, but you know what? I don't know who my paradigm shifter is this week. I don't think I've set one up yet, so I may be rerunning one of the older ones, and I might be using one of the Oneness Blessings ones, or I don't know, and a lot of paradigm shifters are now being podcasted, so check my website and find out who it is and what it is. So thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design, and thank you so much for being on the planet during this shift and making a huge difference in your consciousness for your sake and the whole species. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening. Many, many blessings, and good night.